You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, me, Arms, and Hooks is back! Talk about our guys in fantasy football for 2020, starting now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Brian Hucks.
Hucks is back. Hucks is back.
It's the return of the Hucks.
Return of the Hucks. Oh, baby, yeah, return of the Hucks. I am really excited. There's a fluffiness in the air tonight. I can feel it fluffing in the air tonight. Hucks.
Hold on.
Oh. Hucks on. Hucks is back. He don't have the COVID. He works with some folks that have the COVID, we're willing to risk it because we missed.
Well, Hucks. We risk it for the biscuit, you know.
We risk it because we love this bearded bastard.
Screw Corona.
Yeah, it sucks. So Hucks is back. We're excited. Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show. As always, it is me, Bark, and to my left is Arms.
Hello.
And to my right,
good morning. I forgot.
You did forget.
How long? Man, sorry. Good morning.
It's okay. And to the right is our very special Hucks.
Hello.
I've literally genuinely missed you.
Yeah,
seriously.
I know.
It's
been 3 months almost.
Not just the show. I missed you.
I know.
I got excited to talk to a guy at my job today that works with Hucks, for us to share in our love.
Can you touch him? Just gently brush his arm as you walk by. Nope. No, that's probably what you're saying to the guy at your job.
Yeah. Could you just tap him on the butt one time for me? Just a little boop,
boop,
boop. But I was genuinely excited to talk to the guy because, we both know Hucks. And I was like, isn't he just the best dude? He's like, actually, he is. And I'm like, yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I know.
There's not many Hucks as you find in life, but we got one and he's back. So
there's not many of us at all.
No, there's not, but I imagine the rest of them are just kind of, eh. I would put your brother in that category because I love your brother, but he's not a Hucks.
He's a Comer.
He's a Comer. But I do love that guy,
I
too.
I like your dad.
Yeah.
Dad's a good dude.
I haven't met Dad. I feel left out.
Ed, okay.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I haven't met Dad. I feel left out. Let's talk about football.
Wow. All
right.
Just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
It's fine.
No, just go on.
Let's talk about this football thing.
Yeah, whatever football is.
Well,
I'm not even going to have a season. We're talking about football.
That's a real question. I mean, what is football right now? Because it's just a steaming pile of shit right now. The biggest news of the week is Debo Samuel broke his foot.
Yeah.
And is projected to be back by the beginning of the season.
Why is he even out doing anything?
I don't know. I mean, they kind of got to stay in shape unless we want to watch Jared Lorenzen, the Jared Lorenzen League,
dude,
the JLL.
You talk about more dead people.
The JLL.
Just inadvertently Jared Lorenzen, you're making fun of him. He died 2 years ago. Get off the guy.
There is no disrespect when it is factual that he is the size of an old school offensive lineman.
Was.
Was.
I want to believe he's still with us.
You're horrible.
I want to believe he's still
you
with us.
You are the worst.
I love JL.
Okay. So,
anyways, we're here. We're going to talk about our guys, but there's some stuff to talk about. Debo, he is out, and it's a fractured foot. What do you guys think that means? Does he? The reports seem to suggest he'll be back by week one, but Trent Taylor had a similar injury and did not play all season because the first surgery went wrong. The second surgery, his foot got infected. He missed the whole season. Like, this is no, this is not a petty injury. We've got a broken foot. The most important part of a football player's body, to me, is a foot.
It's certainly up there.
Yeah. Like, you cannot do much without feet. If a pirate was on the football field, the only position
basically
I could
worthless.
See him being is kicker.
I think he'd suck at that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
How's he going to plant?
Troy Olsen says it means nothing. It means buy him now. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 1,000% opportunity to buy him would be now. But, I mean, my guess is if the season were to start on time, I'm going to go out. I don't think they're going to rush him back. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he misses the first 6 weeks.
Ooh. See, I don't think he'll miss any time.
I'm not sure he'll miss any time. I mean, they're saying he should be ready by week one. Not saying he'll be healed. They're saying ready.
He'll be healed.
You know what I mean? So I think a fracture typically is, what, a 4 to 6 weeks to actually?
Yeah, 6 weeks is what I've been seeing.
Feet are different, right? So is he?
They're fetishable.
Yeah, I got you. So is he 8 weeks out before he can start really running? What's that pushed up to? So 8 weeks from today, all of July.
Mid-August.
So he give him a few weeks to be in shape. Is he going to be a stud first couple weeks? No, but. You know,
I just don't think it depends on how it heals. I just don't think they're going to rush him.
Why?
No,
would
I don't
they?
Either.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Actually,
I mean,
hold
I know
on.
I know they're not really loaded with like top tier talent or anything.
Well,
but
they may not be loaded with top tier talent. But I'm a big fan of Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trent Taylor supposedly looked fantastic in camp before he got hurt, and it feels like they have someone else. I know Emmanuel Sanders is gone.
George,
you
Kittle.
Never know. Pettis could step up. It could happen, but I doubt it.
I mean, I'd say it's going to be a lot of the run game, a lot of Kittle.
Literally, what it's been before that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
right.
You know, it's just
like, and you got Ayuk. I'm a big fan. Like, he could pull a Terry McLaurin if Debo. If Debo misses any time,
I mean,
Doobie.
They're going to have
Troy Olsen knows what I'm talking about.
All of camp to work together.
Yeah.
So I mean, that this more than anything, I don't think it really. Kills Debo as much as it really catapults Ayuk's value.
Yeah, I mean, even like a Kendrick Bourne or, you know, somebody else could step up. And so, I mean, like I said, they don't have any top guys besides Kittle, obviously, but I think they're talented enough to where they don't have to rush them back week one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, I mean, they're also that team that's, I mean, you're in a good division.
Oh, yeah.
The NFC is not a walkthrough. I mean, they've got to win games and they know it. So, you know, they may not rush him back week one, but I doubt they're going to have him on the PUP list to start the season to put him out 6 weeks. Because if they're 0-2, he's coming back week three.
If that part of the game is their problem.
Yeah. Again.
Well,
but
adding a
Troy.
Spark is always, you know, it's always help.
I agree with Troy 100%. You can follow Troy Olsen at DFF Voice. Thanks for that cheap, shameless plug, Troy, on the Twitter. But Debo, I don't think he's going to miss any time. What are we? We're in June. We've got mid-June. So even mid-August is 8 weeks. And by the time the season starts, that's 11 weeks, roughly, 12 weeks. I mean, he's probably going to be fine, but go buy him. I think he was poised to step up again because we loved him coming out as a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
He showed us why, and he's just getting started. So Go buy him if you can.
Get you some Debo.
Get you some of that doobie. Debo, get you some Debo.
So, what does this do? I mean, does it actually, do you think anyone else on that offense, at wide receiver specifically, is suddenly highly ownable?
I think Ayuk's been highly ownable from the start. But outside of him, yeah, I think it increases. I think it increases his value just on the off chance that something else goes wrong. The foot doesn't heal right. Julio had issues with his injured foot years ago, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he didn't come back as quickly as the league thought. So, you know, you need to err on the side of caution sometimes.
Okay.
I think Ayuk is a good buy.
If you're still doing, like, rookie drafts right now, where, like, I think in the few we've had...
Maybe move him up a spot or two.
I mean, is that it?
Does I think that's it.
Because where was he going in our drafts that we've already done? Was he
late first? Early second?
Was he a first-round pick in any? I didn't see
in some of my leagues, okay. He was.
I didn't think any of mine. I thought it was mid-late second, really.
Man,
I was
kind of projected as the number two receiver there de facto anyway, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not like the number one receiver in San Fran is a baller. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you even expect Debo to put up 1,500 yards.
Right.
So maybe a couple receiver spots.
A guarantee him maybe a late first pick in a 16-team league.
Let me tell you
what. I wouldn't guarantee it. I still think he's like – I still think it's going to be early second possibility, but he won't fall past pick 204.
So still not taking him above a guy like Justin Jefferson.
No.
You know,
I am.
Obviously, you're – seriously?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That high on Ayuk.
Good for you. you can trade back and still get him whatever pick you have.
I'm sticking by my Justin Jefferson thing before the season. Like, he bumped up for me, but I got a feeling.
Okay. Wait, so him versus Mims. He passed Mims.
Oh, yeah.
But Mims is probably de facto number one.
Depends on if Perryman is actually good or not. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
So I love Mims, but Ayuk is just up there for me. I mean, he has been. It's just, listen, that's a run first team that when they're not running, they're not looking to throw deep. And Ayuk's not a deep guy anyways. Ayuk's going to be that shallow, get him in space, throw a 5 yard out, get him in space, or, you know, a seam right down the middle. Like Ayuk is, Debo was really good for a reason last year. And it was because it was a run-first team that he could be a part of. He could be a part of the mm-hmm. run game. And when not a big part of the run game, they knew if they got it to him 3 to 5 yards out, he was going to gain extra yards after contact, turn into a 7 or 8 yard play.
Absolutely.
Ayuk is the same kind of player as far as getting it to him short, but he's a different kind of player. The yards after contact aren't what you get from him. You get shiftiness, and he can break one.
Okay.
So I think Ayuk's the perfect guy for San Francisco to really surprise. Just my opinion. If Denzel Mims was on that Niners team, I wouldn't be that excited about Denzel Mims because it's not a vertical team. Okay. They don't go deep and throw it up for a guy to go up and get it. They want to play smartly and grind out first downs, and Ayuk's going to be great for that.
I feel like I would have the same opinion as far as their talent. That you draft a guy for what he does for a reason. So if they take Mims, I feel like they're, you know, with the intention to try and air it out. So either one on that team, I'd have the same opinion on the de facto number two with number one upside.
Yeah.
That's how I'd look at it.
And again, I love Mims.
What other guys went around him? So, like, he went typically above T. Higgins, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
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 So
not by a ton.
But what other guys would be in that conversation?
Rager was in that conversation.
Rager. So him above Rager right now?
Yeah, I think so. I don't really believe in a true number one presence on the Eagles. I think Rager is going to be really good. I don't think he's going to be like lighting up the fantasy world year one.
Okay.
Year two or three, very well could. Year one, not convinced.
Okay.
But Ayuk with Emmanuel Sanders gone, Debo possibly missing a game or two, maybe. But the Niners receiving core was just awful anyways, and Ayuk's just the perfect guy for what the way they play the game.
Okay.
My opinion.
Let's see. I'm trying to see who else was that. Laviska Shenault.
Shenault, yeah.
I saw Laviska Shenault slide more in drafts than...
Someone fantasy data, and it actually has Ayuk as the number 5. Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, Jefferson, and Ayuk. And then it goes Huggins, Gandy, Mims, Shenault, Rager, Pittman Jr.
My God, Rager going behind all those guys? And Pittman Jr., I think that's a mistake.
This is just one I just pulled up random. I don't know what kind of pool it's from or anything like that. So,
What else is going on in football?
It's an ADP though. So,
more football world news. Dr. Fauci says there probably won't be football, but last time I checked, I don't think he decides.
No.
What happens?
Well, he's been in his job too long anyway, so.
Yeah, anyhow. Yeah, one of those things.
Anyhow, need to go there.
Needs to be termed out. Anyways, so football could happen. It could not. It's looking kind of skimpish, but let's go ahead. I don't think there's any other relevant football news that we haven't covered within a week's time. So let's get.
By the way, I pulled a fantasy football calculator, and it's the same list of people in the same order. So
really, Rager that low?
Yeah.
Huh. That's crazy.
Sorry, just trying to pull up random ones.
No, it's fine. Also, if you are listening or watching, there is a number on the screen. You can call it. If you want to call, add something to the conversation, by all means, go ahead. Let's start talking about our guys, because we're also going to do some reaction videos if no one's seen those. It's been a long time. People are clamoring to see Hux.
Absolutely. They're clamoring to see Hux.
Anyone want to start? Do you have a guy that you try to – I know you do, Arms, and I'm thinking about him right off the top of my head – that you try to have on every team?
Well, it's not even
– Our guys.
It's not even a try. It's, you know, the guy –
You value him higher
than most.
The guy
for the price.
Yeah.
You know, I have Darius Geis, I think, on – it's right there. On basically every I might not have him in one league. But, you know, if you're drafting a startup – he falls incredibly low, and there's injury concern. So, I mean, it's kind of a rightfully so. He's got, you know, his fall. But his the talent is there for him to be, you know, a top five guy. I mean, he does have that kind of talent, or borderline top five anyway. But everyone's concerned about it. Everyone's concerned about, you know, him not being able to make it through the season. And I do get it. But, man, whenever you see him go against, I think it was the Panthers, and it was like 10 carries for like 127 yards. He's got all the tools to be successful. I'm never going to get the value out of him that I think he's worth. So
no.
So it is. I mean, nobody's going to. I was offered at one point in time, late last year, two firsts, but they were late firsts or projected to be late first, and I wasn't having it. But no one's going to go offer you, you know, a ton of value for guys based on injury concerns. That's an arms guy just because I can't. I've already owned him. I can't get rid of him for anything of value, so might as well hang on to him.
I just want to add, if I own Geis, I'm not selling him either. And it's not because I love him like you. I do when he's healthy. Most violent running back in football, I think, if he's healthy. I think that's who he is. But I wouldn't sell because the value's just currently not – there's no reason.
I mean, at one point in time, I traded – like last, not 2020 draft, but the 2019 draft. It was at the time like pick 104, you know, at that time. I don't know where it ended up being. And Devonta Freeman for Geis. I feel like I came out ahead.
You did.
You know, especially if that pick dropped, you know, let's say to 1-8. I don't know who went, you know, on ADP 1-8 in the 2019 draft, but odds are they're, you know, not great. And Devonta Freeman's a free agent.
Yeah. Agree. Hux, you got a guy or you want me to?
You can go ahead. I just looked through my rosters and I didn't really see like one guy I have on
there's
multiple.
There's not a guy that you like you've coveted and tried to acquire.
I mean,
who do you try to own everywhere is what we're getting at.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, you apparently don't.
I miss Hux so much.
I don't want Michael Thomas.
I missed
just him one so. One league.
Well, no, because you want like six first for him.
You're not getting what I'm saying. I was acting like I'm you.
I get
you didn't apparently.
You don't get it apparently.
And Michael Thomas, by the way, probably worth six first.
Nobody's worth six first.
Anyways,
if I had six first and someone had Michael Thomas,
no.
I would consider it.
No, I'm not giving six firsts. Jesus. I'm not giving six firsts for a receiver.
If they're late first, if they're almost guaranteed to be late first, absolutely I'll do it.
Think about the next three wide receivers behind him and maybe getting them for three.
But depends on what your receiver corps looks like at this point as well.
No.
I mean, it's obviously a lot of factors, you know, based on this
decision. I'm assuming I've got a good number two and a good number three.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
I was going to say, like, if you're a receiver, team, I was targeting some last year, and his value kind of took a hit was Courtland Sutton with Judy coming in, but I still like Sutton. I'd like to own him.
I disagree that his value took a hit.
I mean, maybe it didn't, just because, I mean, it all depends on Drew Lock also.
I'm not as excited about Sutton with Judy there. I mean, Drew Lock has got to be absolutely phenomenal to make two number one wide receivers in Denver.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton's awesome. I really like him, but, like, I'm not paying the price after they
draft Judy. They got a lot of weapons there.
Yeah.
Oh, we absolutely do.
I mean, yeah. Added Melvin Gordon, Noah Fant, you know, a lot of weapons there in Denver.
To me, that just tells me, all right, you've already got rapport with Sutton. You know, I didn't play a whole season together, but they've got history together. And now you have to cover Judy. You're going to have to cover Hamler. Fant can't be ignored, and you got to make sure that you're covering Melvin Gordon out of the backfield. Like, this could be the biggest year Cortland Sutton ever has.
It could, but my God, there's so many mouths to feed. I just don't.
Who cares about feeding mouths?
Me.
You don't worry about feeding the damn mouth. You worry about winning football games. And winning football games, you throw to the open guy, and the open guy is going to be Cortland Sutton.
Any of those guys could be open. I mean, if anything, you could make the argument that Cortland Sutton is going to be the one with the most coverage, opening it up for Gordon.
In theory.
Fant.
In theory.
Hamler.
But there's too many weapons out there to where he's still going to draw your number one guy.
What's that other guy?
But he's also going to be your number one.
Lindsey?
He's still going to be your number one read, is my point.
Jake Butt?
Number one read with single coverage.
The other rookie Rob tight Smith. End. The other rookie tight end they drafted. Huh? They drafted, what, Albert O? Is that who they drafted?
Albert O?
Tight end? Yeah.
I believe, yes.
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas?
I mean, there are going to be people going after him, by the way.
Easy Ed McCaffrey?
Ed McCaffrey? Monte Ball?
Terrell Davis?
Terrell Davis?
All right, anyhow.
John Elway?
Maurice Clarett?
Maurice Clarett, absolutely. Okay, a guy I have targeted on every team. I'm not going big. I'm going to focus on those high payout guys that are cheap on some of my teams. I've made it a point on 78% of my teams. That's about as accurate as I can get. I did the math, but I didn't actually look to see if it was correct. 78% of my leagues, I have acquired Damian Harris. Reason I've acquired Damian Harris is because I am not a massive Sony fan. I mean, the PlayStation 5 looks like shit. So I'm moving on from Sony. I'm going for the Xbox and Damian Harris.
I'm buying a PS5.
I'm buying Damian Harris.
I'm not buying it on its looks.
Damian Harris. What it looks like. It looks like a fucking router.
I don't give a shit about the looks of it.
I actually don't even play games. But if I bought anything, it'd probably be a Switch.
Are you 78? Are you a grandma? Or are you going to play Shuffle?
Have you not played Animal Crossing?
I haven't. I have a Switch. I haven't either.
I don't even know what that is.
I haven't either. But listen.
I don't know what Animal Crossing is.
Sony Michel, to me, I know he's had an okay couple of years. To me, he's a disappointment. And I know that that's in part to the Patriots and the way they play the game and having James White. But I've just got this sneaking suspicion that James White could be traded. And I don't love Sony Michel. And Damian Harris is basically dirt ass cheap right now. You can get Damian Harris as a throw in. I've gotten Damian Harris as a throw in.
He's not cheap anymore.
For
if you
draft
just put him out
trades.
There.
Yeah, well, I've got him. I don't give a damn. I've got him. So raise the price, just like webcams during the coronavirus. The webcam we're on cost me $130. It's $350 on Amazon right now.
But this one's for sale now if you want
to
message Barker.
It's for sale. Do you want it? I will fucking use the 35mm on this bitch ass of a stream. Buy my
webcam. Why are you cussing so
much? Buy my webcam. I'm so excited Hux is here.
Why are you angry?
I'm so excited Hux is here. I also had a really shitty day that I got to tell you about later, Arms.
It's great.
But anyways, Damian Harris... I absolutely think that this is going to be the next Alabama running back to step up and take someone's job. He's going to step up and take a Georgia Bulldogs job. Once he gets a few carries, they're going to be like, shit, this guy is what we need. I love Damian Harris in 2020.
Okay.
Love.
I mean, I'm...
I don't
know why they didn't use him more than they did last year. But
I agree. What did he have, like, legitimately five carries in the season?
I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think his pass pro was up to snuff for one.
Well, if it doesn't get there, he's not going to play anyways.
Not to mention year two of a first-round running back in Sony Michel. Year three, I think, is when you can start to be like, eh.
Maybe he doesn't have it.
Maybe he doesn't have it. Maybe he's not that great.
I don't think they've got... Yeah, just the way they play the game, I just don't think they've tapped into Sony Michel's full potential.
That's That's I'm not going to dispute that. That is possible.
They just had
because he was electric coming out. Yeah,
and I mean the way the Patriots play football, it's almost like they can't let anybody get on a long term roll. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we're going to send Michelle three carries. He might have 12 yards on the three carries, and then they're like, hey, where's Rex Burkhead? We need a yard and a half to get us into a 3rd and 6. Like,
where's Rex Burkhead? Like, we know he's on. We know he's on Trump's fantasy roster. Let's go ahead and throw him in. Let's do this one for the Trumpster.
But that is, I mean, that's the way they play football, and it's maddening. It's like we're just going to randomly James White. We're just going to give him 4 fucking touchdowns. He's got 5 yards in the game, but all of them are goal line carries.
God damn, you hit the table hard.
Oh, my God.
You guys are angry today.
I despise owning Patriots players.
I don't like it either. Nikhil Harry won't be on a team of mine.
I don't think I own a single Patriots player right now. I haven't owned a Patriots player for years.
Nobody really worth owning.
I do.
Edelman maybe, but now that Brady's gone,
I haven't owned Edelman.
How's he going to be?
I owned Gronk, I think, for a minute and a half before he retired.
You guys did this. I'm skipping you and just you can go after me, but I have a lot of Jarrett Stidham shares because, again, cheap. And if he is the starter in a Bill Belichick-led offense, I want that guy as my backup. I got him as a throw-in in multiple leagues as well. Do I think he's going to be great? No. I don't. I don't think he's going to be great. I think he could be really good later. But he's cheap. He's super cheap. And the name of the game in fantasy football is, Arms, when you have a great backup, what do you actually have?
A great eventual starter.
Yeah, but let's say you're a Patty Mahomes owner. Like, do you want to own Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, no, I got a hell of a chunk of trade bait.
Yeah, you got a hell of a chunk of trade bait. So you can't play them both unless you're in Superflex. So why do you need a high-flight backup quarterback?
I understand.
I
smell what you're cooking.
Yeah. So when you can focus on skill positions, wide receiver, running back, tight ends, and you can grab a guy like Jarrett Stidham for next to nothing, and he might start on the Patriots? On the Patriots?
I have a hard time seeing this Patriots team winning more than, like...
We had this last week.
Yeah, somebody doesn't listen.
8 games.
I think 7-9.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that, 7-8 games.
I wouldn't be that surprised, but even on 7-8 games... What, 7-8 games winning means Stidham has to have some decent games in there. Perfect backup. And you're afraid he's not going to start? Go grab Brian Hoyer off the waiver wire for $1.50.
I've got Hoyer. I don't even know why I have Hoyer on some teams. I'm like, where the hell did he come from? Why is he on my team? Now I'm like, oh, you guys want to buy used to Brian Hoyer?
It happens. I mean, I have Stidham shares. I have a Jacoby Brissett share. I'm looking at it right now. You know why? Because I got a Jacob Eason share.
Listen, I'm just going to throw
this. Backup. Cheap backups.
Nothing makes me hate you more than the way you say Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett.
Not Brisket. Brisket. It's Brissett.
I mean, he should. Indy has missed the boat on marketing Brisket after Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, you just sell it at the stadium, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take a barbecue Jacoby Brissett sandwich.
Don't even call it Brisket. A barbecue Jacoby.
There we go.
A BB... Barbecued. A BBJ. Ooh. Hux, can you give me a BBJ?
No.
Wait, BJJ. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Never mind.
Barbecued.
Brazilian?
I don't know.
Anyhow.
Who's got a player? Who's got an our guy?
I have so many. I think I have 4 out of 4 Dynasty League shares of Terry McLaurin.
I think all 4 of your leagues are the same rosters.
They're not.
They're close.
They're not. Oh, I've got Rodgers in too. I have Carr in like 3 as a backup.
Probably still have Eli Manning on your team.
No Eli shares.
Steve Slayton. How many?
Noah Spence.
DaQuan Bowers.
DaQuan Bowers. These are arms guys from the past.
You can talk about my greatest hits?
Yeah.
All right.
So, what's some other small running backs you liked?
Noah Devine.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was trying to think.
Is that where you're going with that?
Best, were you a best guy?
No, actually, I didn't like best at all. No, I don't know why. I should have, but I don't know why. He fit my prototype. God damn it, I wanted to see the next Barry Sanders.
I know. We all do.
But the one everyone was on, Reggie Bush, I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
No. I just don't see it. And he finished the season with negative fantasy points one time.
Yeah. Whenever he got signed by Miami, I was like, no! No!
He was unemployed for like three seasons. Like, I'm coming back to football. We're like, huh, good for you.
Yeah.
Nobody signed you, but
we know where you're going. Miami.
Nowhere. So, no, I've got multiple shares of Terry McLaurin. And most of that came from, it was all rookie draft. The one startup, he fell. I mean, fell hard, like 8th, 9th, 10th round. For a top 30 guy, I think he finished the second half of the season in top 20 points per game. I just couldn't see not picking him up as late as I did. And I'm happy to have him in every damn league. And he's not my start. He's not my one. I think one league he's a two, and the rest of him he's a three. So
yeah, great
number
three.
He's solid. So.
Great three, yeah.
So and I mean, I get solicited for the trade all the time, but everyone's trying to give me either a guy who's getting ready to retire or someone who's a N'Keal Harry level guy that's never done anything. So
right.
So you won't take Larry Fitzgerald for him?
No.
Can't blame him there. But yeah, I mean, that kind of falls in line. Honestly, if you've got a Redskins player that you like, there's no need to trade him because Redskins players don't have much value.
You're absolutely right.
Now, McLaurin has value. I made a trade for McLaurin this offseason. I think.
Wasn't with me.
No, I gave up. I think I gave up Nick Chubb for McLaurin and Lev Bell. That's what I did. Nick Chubb for McLaurin and Lev Bell. The Kareem Hunt threat is just too real. Like, they're both going to get theirs, but I want a guy that's going to get it all. So, yeah, I'm happy to have my Terry McLaurin shares, and he's my number three behind Mike Evans and Cooper Kupp.
Finished the season, just throwing aside, finished the season with the ragtag quarterbacks of just, you know, backups, you know, backup-level quarterback, and then Haskins working all the kinks out as the number 27 wide receiver.
A lot of kinks.
Whole lot.
Whole lot of kinks.
You guys, just look how he finished season.
Like, when you talk about the kinks, you don't know whether to talk about the band or Dwayne Haskins.
You're going to eat your words.
Just like last year when he broke that rookie touchdown record.
He didn't start the beginning of the season, guys.
I don't
he should have.
I don't
he
give should, a but damn. Hey,
do you not realize that if he started the beginning of the season, he probably would have based on his numbers?
I do not realize that at all.
They put in like
zero hot, realization.
No, hot garbage quarterback that just could not freaking do anything, and they're still not giving Haskins a chance.
Keep talking. So, I need to extrapolate these numbers.
What does that say about Haskins if he's not starting over a hot garbage quarterback?
The coach didn't like him.
Oh, he's a degenerate.
That was said early on. That's not an arms take. That was said
early on. You got to earn your spot on the field, arms.
Oh,
absolutely
my God.
You're right. Absolutely. So we're still making an argument for him breaking the rookie touchdown record when he threw 7 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Hey, God. You just don't get it.
I get it perfectly fine.
You don't get it because people develop as the season goes on. His first few games, you're like, you're down 20 points. Hey, Dwayne, go in and throw a fucking pick to the other team because everybody knows what you're doing.
He did develop into finishing the season out with 2 touchdowns to no interceptions. Now, granted, I wouldn't say that's setting the world
on
fire.
Three or four games, it was like 3 of them had 2 touchdowns, 1 of them had 1 in the end.
Yeah, but can we roll through the yardage here?
He got over
200 yards twice.
Okay, He's played 5 games.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games.
No, you don't call. You don't the spot duty. You can't call. You can't.
You can't.
You take 5 snaps. You're going to give that game play. No.
Okay.
Whenever you're down, and you're a rookie, and everybody knows what you're doing. I'm not going to sit here and christen him as an NFL MVP.
Can we call?
Oh my God, this rookie touchdown record's like 26, 27 touchdowns.
You're going to crown his ass. Crown him.
Can we call 15 attempts or more in a game more than spot duty?
Fair enough.
7 games then.
Okay, 7 games.
Almost half a goddamn season.
Okay.
7 touchdowns. Like fucking shit, dude.
How many games did he not start?
Jared Lorenzen could outdo that.
I think he started five.
Ted, he could still do it.
Oh, my God.
He would have been fine. Hey, since we're talking about hits, Baker was going to push Mahomes for the number one quarterback last year. Words out of your mouth.
Oh, God, Bruning. Matt Bruning. He said that's because of Jay Gruden. Jesus.
It is.
Whatever.
Gruden hated him.
Okay, talented players rise above the coaching.
Oh, my God, that is not always true. Play calling. You're not going to let a rookie change the plays. You're just not going to let him do it.
Five of nine games, no touchdowns. Come on.
How many wins they end up with?
And Dwayne Haskins starts two.
How many wins they had before he started?
Probably three.
Okay. So that has nothing to do with Jay Gruden?
Well, Jay Gruden. Okay. Okay.
I just want to.
But my God, we could go through a list of every team and every quarterback and
good quarterbacks. Whenever your team's winning,
there is no good quarterback on Washington.
Oh my God.
Alex Smith, is he going to be able to play again?
They almost drafted one.
He's trying, and I hate that.
He probably shouldn't.
I wouldn't if I was him.
He was trying lightly, but the Redskins brass is like, please try harder. Because we cannot go into the season.
They're offered him a front office job, so I don't think they're trying to get him back.
By front office job, they mean the best seat in the house, which is right there on the field, 50-yard line, ready to go in.
You ready to go with anything else?
Yes. Hux, who you got as a guy that you just covet on all your teams, who's the guy you want to acquire on every single
like
one of
I'm
your teams?
I feel like I'm on repeat because the guy I'm getting ready to name is in the same freaking situation.
That's fine.
Michael Gallup, I love the guy, and then they bring
that's
in
a great
CeeDee Lamb.
That's a great talking point.
I love Michael
because
Gallup.
Arms loves Gallup.
Yeah,
and
I love Gallup.
I think Gallup has stud potential.
I think Gallup still does. The best wide receiver on the team.
I mean,
at least through this year,
it's arguable.
It's arguable.
And
yeah.
Listen, we don't know what CeeDee Lamb's going to be.
Right.
All right. We already know what Amari Cooper is, and it's a roller coaster. He's like a freaking EKG. It's just up, down, up, down, up, down, and peaks and valleys. It's horrible. He's great at times, and he's trash at times. I think Gallup
he was great
is
at times,
going to be
he was trash at times.
I hope
a
so,
long-term steady
that,
stud.
That is one guy I do have in multiple leagues.
I hope he's not great because I've traded him in a couple leagues.
But I mean, and that offense obviously showed last year that they can support several different players. So, I mean, I don't know.
Sounds like you're urinating just so clear. The mic is straight picking that up.
I'm glad they can see you.
Yep. It just sounds like you're just going at it right now. So he's pouring beer into a can for our podcast listeners that aren't watching.
If only I had a bowl of mac and cheese to rummage through with a fork. You would have no idea what I was doing then. Kraft macaroni.
So we're talking
cheese.
About the from a points per game standpoint, he was the number 20 overall wide receiver. On a team with, let's see, where did Cooper finish? Cooper finished at 18. I mean, I think Cooper, this is the best he is. I don't think he gets better, but I do think Alb does.
I don't know if he gets much higher than 20.
I agree with you there.
12 to 15, I think, is his max.
It's pretty.
No, it's good. I hope he does.
It's like 3 points per, or 2 points per game.
Yeah. And they got targets to go around. Actually, I mean, they lost Witten, lost Cobb. So, I mean,
that is it's less than 1 point per game to go from 20 to 12.
I'm with you on Amari Cooper. I mean, this is the best. This is just the best Amari Cooper.
This
Cooper's
is who he
be.
Is. And it's not that he's not horrible.
No, he's
who he is.
He's a fantasy starter.
Yeah.
Like he's a, I mean, you could go as far to say he's a quality. You could go as far to say as he's a consistent fantasy starter.
He's not a consistent fantasy
starter. He's gotten
there. You just have to play him every week is the problem.
Right.
Yeah. You can't use Amari Cooper and the word consistent are just 22, 14, 26, 9, 40, 1.3, 15, 18, 31, 6, 1.5.
Can
16,
we just
17, 2, 6.
Can we just say he's 10 times more efficient than Dwayne Haskins?
He doesn't play quarterback.
I mean, regardless of position.
I mean, you can argue that Haskins doesn't play quarterback either.
About done.
Oh,
but yeah, I mean the
so good.
I don't know. I mean the talent's there, obviously, for Cowboys offense. Are they going to put up the statistics they did last year? Because I mean they were, a top, what, two you have, top offense?
You have two top 20 wide receivers and a top five-ish running back?
That's what I'm saying. Is Dak going to continue to put up the numbers he had?
I think so. I think so. Especially now with C.D. Lamb, Gallup. Yeah. You know, Amari's there, Zeke's there. Underrated name. What's the backup?
Pollard. Yeah.
Tony. I just kept wanting to say Tony. Tony. I mean, they've got a good roster offensively, and yeah, I think he can keep it up. Gallup, I think, is going to be a real steal for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Like people are going to be afraid to really mess with anything because CeeDee Lamb, I think Amari Cooper, Gallup. But there is no, like, there's no Jason Witten anymore. There's not, like, a top-flight tight end. Blake Jarwin's respectable.
I just think that you're going to have so many people in your league that think that Amari Cooper's the one.
Right. And but that's not going to be the case. I mean, Gallup could pass him this year.
I think
that is the case. Yeah. I bet a lot of people were saying, okay, Lamb's two, and now Gallup pushes down to three. So, I mean, Gallup,
those people are crazy.
I love CeeDee Lamb, but yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gallup. So
I just don't think, I
think it'd be a good time to buy Gallup. I mean,
I think that if anybody gets,
I think it's a good time to sell Cooper.
The biggest damage is going to be taken here is Cooper, in my opinion. Now, maybe not through 5 weeks.
I agree.
But let's say week 8 to week 16, it wouldn't shock me if Cooper was like, hands down, the number three on that team.
It wouldn't be shocking. C.D. Lamb's got the potential to blow both of their doors off. But Gallup is, we're talking third year. He looked real good last year. He looked really good as a rookie before he got hurt. Like, we just don't know. But, I mean, if I was going to bank on anyone for the price, it's Gallup. I mean, C.D. Lamb, not going to be cheap. Amari Cooper, not going to be cheap. Gallup's not cheap, but Gallup is the cheapest of the three.
Yeah, definitely.
And he could potentially be the guy on that offense this year. That's a great buy, in my opinion.
Man, I mean, that offense is so nasty.
Bruning said he got Gallup in the 11th round of a super flex as his wide receiver 4. That's the value.
Seems late. Yeah.
That's the value there. That's that you can't ask for a better wide receiver
and 4. Then you can't get
in a group of established players.
Like, I just don't know how you're ever going to be able to trade, you know, that kind of. You got to get a hell of a player to trade him.
Yeah.
Like if I have Adam Thielen, and you have Mike Gallup, you're probably not going to trade me unless you're in win now mode.
No.
And even then, it's still a question. I think Thielen may have a better season, but it's still a question. Gallup says
Thielen should have a
third year guy. Thielen's 29, 30, 31 years old, and he's getting up there. So. Yeah, I'll go with my guy. You know, my running back, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah,
until this past year, Kamara has basically, I've never finished. I think outside what top four,
in a
4-point PPR.
And still, like, you could say Kamara was a little disappointing, but
he's ninth. You expected him to push
for number one.
I agree.
I was getting ready to say, finishing my thought, he was only a little disappointing.
So just to run down the list of people who finished. So CMC, obviously. You know, I have Kamara in a lot of places because I didn't pick 1-1. You know what I mean? Or 1-2. But then Dalvin. I don't know if Dalvin repeats what he did. Hell, he's holding out.
I don't think so.
All right. Aaron Jones.
No.
Derrick Henry. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I love Derrick Henry. I'm not betting against that guy.
I feel like this is what Zeke does. He's top five running back. He just is what he is. Austin Ekeler. I'm not sure.
I know.
Okay. Saquon, I think he finishes higher. He finished 7th.
Saquon, all they need is a line.
And then you've got Kamara at 8. So, you know, from a comfort level, I have him as the 4th running back.
It's cozy.
You know, I'm comfortable with him still finishing. Like, my confidence is that he will finish a top 5 running back out of the other guys. 9th was Leonard Fournette, then Mark Ingram.
Well,
and then Nick Chubb, like Wes Hills, Detroit, he had 161 game. But my confidence out of the top 10 guys are Kamara's going to be a top 5 guy there with the big 4.
I'm with you because also Drew Brees technically should at least decline a little.
Oh, yeah.
Which means shorter outs to Kamara, more runs with Kamara. Yeah. Latavius Murray is what, 31 this year?
Gotta be.
I mean, he's a good back. He's a perfect number two in that offense. But Kamara theoretically could push McCaffrey if Drew Brees declines a little bit.
And he was banged up a little bit last year as well.
So
I mean, he's not going to rush for 1,300 yards. Like, that's just out of the question. But he's played three seasons in the league, 82 receptions, 81, 81.
You got to wonder, too, if for some reason this would be Drew Brees' last season, why not run the wheels off Kamara?
The goal is to win it all.
Right.
Win it all. I mean, maybe even pull a page from the Peyton Manning playbook. You know, if your quarterback starts to decline, ride that running game while it can. You know, running back, running game with short outs. So,
yeah. No disagreements from me. I will throw in another player here. So, another guy that I have attempted, which somebody made their name Las Vegas in one of my leagues, and I was already Las Vegas. Kind of made me upset. Yeah. So, anyways, another guy I'm targeting in all my leagues is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Again, I'm going on the cheap side here. They drafted no one. They really have no one besides Davante Adams. Alan Lazard is potentially a breakout guy, mm-hmm. but I just like the talent of Marquez Valdes-Scantling more. And you can get him seriously for almost, again, throw in prices. I got him for like a third round draft pick, I think, this year. A late third. And he's a third year guy. There's always a third year guy that people are sleeping on. There's always a third year breakout that happens that everyone's like, dang it, if I would have just held on. And for me, that's MVS. I try to own him everywhere. It's the name of the game is grabbing breakout guys on the cheap that you could either potentially sling in a deal or plug in as your number three when they break out.
I mean, so let's say that he has a start to the season the way that McLaurin, Hollywood Brown, you know, a couple 170-yard games with a couple touchdowns. Like, all of a sudden, you're getting a quality guy. You know, you throw him with an okay starter, and you might get a stud back. You know,
yeah.
Solidify your team. I'm not big on MVS.
I wouldn't take it to the bark bank by any means. But it's one of those things like the price is right for a third-year breakout candidate that no one is talking about. The price is next to nothing. So if you're weak at wide receiver, gobble some of those guys up.
Yeah, I mean, he burned a lot of guys last year. So, I mean, you probably could get him really cheap.
Really cheap. People have wrote him off.
Yeah.
People are forgetting about him. The Alan Lazard train is rolling in. But I didn't really see enough out of him to make me excited. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling's rookie year, I saw enough to be excited. He's got great speed, great size. He just needed to work on the finer things. Year three is when the finer things translate all that talent into production.
So I've got a few shares, and you guys know I love this guy. We talk about him a lot, James Washington.
I'm tired.
I got a couple of shares.
Over a seven-game stretch, he had four games over 69 yards, and three of those were over 80 yards. And comes away with three touchdowns with garbage quarterback play. So
Duck Hodges is good.
No, Duck Hodges is trash.
Duck Hodges.
Is this stats better than Haskins?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
So
keep talking.
If he becomes the number two, which Deontay Johnson's not, you know, not a pushover.
Oh, not at all.
If he becomes the number two, like, that is just
what's his name?
Devlin.
Devlin Hodges.
Okay.
You could just look up Hodges the way that everyone else does, you know, like an adult.
That's too scary
you
for me.
Anyhow,
didn't you?
You get this, like, his
that's how much I know him.
His high in receptions, he had one game, six receptions, couple of five, and the rest of them 4, 3, 2, 1. Like, you get this guy some targets, some receptions, and James Washington could put up some awesome numbers. Like, you know, he finished season 735 yards. He could easily be an 1,100-1,200-yard wide receiver with quality quarterback play.
The stats are similar. Devlin and Dwayne. Devlin had a couple 200-yard games. He did not have any games where he threw more than one touchdown, though. Mm, yeah. But he had less games where he threw... No, they're the same, zero touchdowns. So basically, let's just say that You know,
they're not
the same. You've got
did he throw two touchdowns?
One A and one B here. It has one of them had
Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, James Conner. You know, but this isn't the same. They don't have the same talent pool around them.
He had Adrian Peterson.
He's 96 years old. Adrian Peterson got his first Social Security check last week. Anyhow, love me some James Washington. Did Vernon Davis even play last year?
I don't know.
You didn't know. Okay. Didn't think so.
Okay. Well, here's somebody that was
Calvin Harmon.
Someone clearly better than Haskins.
He was
Mason
healthy,
Rudolph.
Healthy scratch for quite a while.
Mason Rudolph was clearly better than Haskins.
Mason Rudolph has the most punchable face in history of sports.
So
it's only because Mitch McConnell doesn't play any.
On that stretch of games, James Washington, because he had a really nice stretch at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Who was Rudolph quarterback or was Hodges? Or were they both?
Hold on a second.
Rudolph got suspended, right?
No, I don't think he got suspended. Maybe one game.
I think it was Rudolph. He played all of December.
It was like both. It was mostly Hodges, though.
Okay.
Does he play better with shit quarterbacks?
Well,
the answer is yes and no. Or yes and yes. I don't know.
He just didn't know he had
a good quarterback
connection.
Throwing the ball is the problem.
Yeah, same with old Terry McLaurin. Yeah.
Stop.
Interested to see with Ben back this year how that offense get, you know.
Just to be clear, this guy.
To be clear.
10 games, 13 touchdowns. That is a very similar stat line to what, if you just said, all right, this is what Haskins does for the first entire year, it would have been very similar.
Okay.
So, anyhow.
Heard the word Haskins and I zoned out a little bit.
You're the one who keeps bringing him up.
Nick Kwiatkowski, IDP time. I want him in every league.
I would love to have him in every league.
Nick Kwiatkowski.
Unfortunately, you have him in every league.
I have him in every
friggin'
league. And the reason being is because he was waiver wire fodder last year, and as soon as Roquan Smith went down, it's like, oh shit, Nick Kwiatkowski sitting on the waiver wire, pick him up, tackle, 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 Pac-Man, that's his new nickname, tackle, 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 Nick Kwiatkowski, eating ghosts, tackling people.
Only been talking about him for
every league
since his rookie year, whenever you guys told me I was an idiot for having him, but whatever.
Who's the other linebacker they brought in?
Corey Littleton.
It's Littleton.
Yeah,
but they're both playing in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say it. That's starting to look like a pretty good defense.
It is, but Littleton, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe both
can succeed.
They can. Both of them were both teams let them walk for a reason. They are a little one dimensional. Littleton's not really. He doesn't excel at everything.
The Rams just didn't have the money.
Yeah, but I don't
want to pay pass rushers.
I don't know. I mean,
you gotta pay Aaron Donald. You can't afford the rest of your defense.
I mean,
there's deficiencies there. You don't want to pay a ton. Nick Kwiatkowski is not a cover linebacker, and cover linebackers are important. He's a thumper. He's a Zach Thomas.
I bet he plays three downs.
Oh, he will because he's
guaranteed.
He's Nick Kwiatkowski. He will. Like, it rhymes with Rob Gronkowski. It's just a meathead name. He's going to play three downs.
Wow, that's a. So you're saying all Polish people are meatheads.
Cummins can back me up. Okay. Yes, I am.
Anyhow. Next.
Come on, Hux. Give us a name. Who's a player you love you want on some of your teams? Add some content to the show.
I'm just enjoying this. You know, bashing on arms when I can. And
we can't talk about Haskins anymore. Rule is made. No more Haskins.
I mean, but Ron Rivera is going to change him around.
Can we give a name? Somebody you love. Do a damn bill for all I care.
No, I don't know. What do you think about with Diggs coming in, John Brown? You think you get him cheaper now?
I'm more apt to grab John Brown now than I was last year because he was good last year.
Yeah,
and people are going to forget about him because of Diggs because they're going to say that Josh Allen can't support two fantasy relevant wide receivers.
Josh Allen can. I think it's their offense.
Don't you dare talk about his quarterback.
No, I like Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's a star.
If Josh Allen can just figure out kind of like who were we talking about learning the finer points of the position, Valdez Scantling, if Josh Allen can learn a little can practice and get a little better ball placement. Josh Allen's a stud.
He's got tremendous work ethic. I mean, this kid's been just putting in the work this whole off season, just trying to get better. Contacting Manning, you know, the different guys just try to get pointers. And Buffalo, I mean, not being biased by any means, but Buffalo's a team to watch this year, big time.
Josh Allen's a baller. He's a gamer.
If he just progresses a little bit, I mean, there could be a 12-win team this year for real.
Oh, 100%. Especially in that division.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots, they could all suck. I mean,
total trash.
So. They could all just suck. Granted, I don't believe they'll suck. I think they've all improved besides the Patriots, but I think the playing field's pretty even after the Bills. After the Bills. Bills win. I mean,
they should win the division. Should.
Speaking of the Bills, I have a lot of A.J. Epinesa shares.
I love the guy. I love getting him in the second round. Like, that was great.
Like, I understand that this draft, it focused on, like, Chase Young.
Second round of the draft, not dynasty.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I got you. This draft just was, like, everyone Chase Young. There's always another guy. And for me, this guy, he was just going undrafted. Like, people weren't picking him up in a lot of drafts that I were in. I think I had three rookie drafts that I got him for a dollar.
Oh, yeah. I did, too.
And I'm just sitting there like, so if he arguably second, third best pass rusher in the whole draft, if I can get him for a dollar, you know, we don't know what he is, but he's cheap as hell. And he's on a good defense. So, yeah, give me all the A.J. Epinesa shares I can get.
Don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, he should step right in. And
exactly.
He should. I mean, they lost Lawson. They lost. I don't know who else they lost, but they lost Lorenzo Alexander retired. So I mean, there's definitely room to he's gonna get all the snaps he can handle.
Yeah, I'll add another guy. I feel like I've talked about these guys a lot, but it's our guys, so of course I've talked about them a little bit. But Ian Thomas is my guy, especially with the light trade rumors of Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. They're just light rumors. I don't think it'll happen.
Heard him.
Yeah, here and there.
Okay.
I mean, just saying that he could potentially be on the block because him and, DJ Moore, and Thomas, all similar, not deep threats necessarily, but all kind of middle-of-the-field guys. Like, how much room do you have? How many middle-of-the-field guys can you have?
I feel you.
So.
I hope the Raiders pick him up. Or like Hux.
They need more tight ends.
Yeah, they need more. Yeah, whatever.
Said Curtis Samuel.
Oh, I was thinking Ian Thomas. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm like,
Henry.
No, you're right. You're right. They need more receivers. I mean,
they definitely need more receivers.
They only drafted a couple. They need more. But yeah, Ian Thomas, to me, is, again, that cheap pickup. A throw in, will you? Greg Olsen's gone. Teddy Bridgewater, probably going to pepper the tight end, running back, and probably Curtis Samuel.
I don't think we have any precedence for that, but. You know, because I don't think Bridgewater was ever known for, like, looking for the tight end.
I'm not sure what he's known for at this point.
He's
gloves.
Nothing yet.
Just gloves.
Teddy two gloves. I mean, that's about what he's known for.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at last year, he focused on one guy, and it was the big wide receiver, but he doesn't even have that this year. The biggest thing he's got to throw to this year is Ian Thomas.
So
I don't hate that.
And he's cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're going to get Travis Kelce production, but you're not going to pay Travis Kelce prices.
Yeah, you're not getting Travis Kelce production. So. But you might be able to squeeze out.
What if you got
Higbee production?
Oh, man. Higbee was good at the end of the year.
Yeah, those are some.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree
with you.
Those are
some tight end, like legit number one games.
I feel like he's putting up. Actually, he was. Yeah, he was literally 101 at tight end, I think, 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
I like how you emphasized 101.
Yeah, that was a big deal, apparently, for me. I got blocked by Woody Page over that shit. That's not even a joke.
I know.
Yeah. Let's be real. Woody Page blocked you because of your Haskins love.
So, speaking of tight ends, and I'm like ready. I'm the guy who's ready to move on from Travis Kelce to take Noah Fant in something.
Like, holy crap.
I have a lot of Noah Fant shares.
You want to move on from Kittle?
Kelce. Not Kittle.
Either one.
If you have Noah Fant and value, I'm not saying Noah Fant and a third rounder. I'm not saying Noah Fant and a wide receiver three. Noah Fant and value. I'll trade Travis Kelce.
I hope to God I play you after you trade and your team is Dwayne Haskins, Darius Geis, and Noah Fant.
I have seen the owner that has Fant and he has nothing to offer me. Nothing. And that's sad. Like, Fant might be his second best player. I'm like, God, dude, why does your team suck so bad? But
I mean, where do back to we already talked about Denver already, but like, you know, obviously Drew Lock has to progress.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, where does Fant fall in the line of targets? I mean,
he's
third, fourth.
I think right now he's
just a touchdown guy.
Let's also realize Travis Kelce is like 32 years old.
That's true.
I get it, yeah,
but he's still. There's no signs of slowing down.
It doesn't mean that he doesn't slow down.
I agree. I'm with you.
I'm not saying he doesn't go from 1,300 yards just down to 1,250.
Right.
Okay, but Fant is still a young guy. He showed a lot of promise several times last year.
I like him a lot.
You know, if Fant becomes a 1,000 to 1,100 yard guy.
I don't think that happens.
See, I don't.
How many guys are going to catch 1,000 yards in Denver?
Two tops.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, but I mean,
why not three?
Okay.
Why not 900 yards? Why not 800 yards?
He's still
a top five tight end.
How many teams produce 3,000 yard guys?
Can we divvy this up? Get just off top of your head. How many yards is Sutton going for?
1,100.
How many yards is Judy going for?
783.
Okay. So there's almost 2,000 yards of production. How much is KJ Hamler getting?
400.
Okay, so there's what, 20? Well, let's call it 25. How much is Melvin Gordon getting?
300.
What? You don't think Melvin Gordon's going to get 600 to 800 yards in receiving?
I don't think he ever has.
Oh, shit.
And that might be just.
Finish this off for me, Hux.
But there's nobody else. Bourne? I mean, 100 yards? I mean, who else are we talking? Or Tim Patrick? 100 yards? We're not talking about anybody else.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay, he's going to get some catches too.
Yeah.
His career high is 490 yards, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I like my 300 projection then.
So, I mean, last year he had 296, missed 4 or 5 games, but he's probably 300 to 400 yards. So, but even still, even if it's not 1,000 yards, if it's 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, he's got value. Once again, I didn't say I'm trading Travis Kelce for Noah Fant. I said Travis Kelce for Noah Fant and something of value.
Okay, you're right on Gordon. 500 yards is the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's typically four to five. But still, I don't see Noah Fant breaking more than 8.
Eight's a top, what, 8 tight end?
Sure, but how much do you want to pay for a top 8 tight end? Like, only the top 3 really matter.
Okay, who's the number 3?
Waller?
Waller?
What? Probably.
You want to take Waller? Not Ertz?
Yeah, I'm taking
Ertz. So,
I don't know, Ertz, Waller, they're ahead of them.
You've got to move on eventually from your old-ass tight end.
Dallas, not yet.
Dallas Goedert or Fant? Who you taking?
Dallas Goedert.
Man, that's a coin flip, honestly. I don't have a correct answer to that.
Okay.
We got Kelce. We got Kittle. We got Waller. We got Ertz. We got
Waller is the number 3 tight end this year?
No. But I mean, he's probably still top 7. He's probably going to fall down to 7-ish.
With
Mark Andrews?
Okay.
What about Higbee? Is Higbee going to keep on that tear?
Well, Higbee
Dallas
and Goedert
was tight end 10. Gesicki was tight end 12.
Fant only targeted 66 times last year.
I like Fant as a player, just like you. I just don't understand. I don't see it in regard. This is one of the few times where my fantasy league, I think, gets it right. 2019 stats, 40 catches, 562 and 3. 2020, they project a slight bump to 50, 673 and 4. I like that projection.
I think a couple more touchdowns, but yeah.
Let me ask something. So let's say that I need a wide receiver. And I have, you need a wide receiver 3, okay? But you want someone solid. And I have Noah Fant and Terry McLaurin. You have Travis Kelce. Are you going to take that trade?
No, I'll keep Fant and McLaurin.
I said you have Kelce.
I'm trading you Kelce.
Okay.
That's so, not the argument I'm making. I want McLaurin. McLaurin's the piece in that deal. I think Fant has the...
I said a piece of value. I didn't say a stud. I didn't say I want Julio Jones back with it. McLaurin is someone who's of value.
Okay.
So I guess we're looking at it as similar value.
I just feel like you want to put Fant into the top five, and I don't see the room for him in the top five.
Oh, there's absolutely room for him in top
five. I don't
five.
See it. Kittle, Kelce, still going to be there. Ertz, likely still there. Mark Andrews, definitely still there.
Yeah.
And then...
Okay, 6, 7. Hell, he's still going to have a good season.
Yeah, but when you get to 6 and 7... You know,
the difference between,
if he doesn't
the
finish
between
six 7 or seven,
and 5 is 0.3 points a game.
If he doesn't finish 6 or 7, he falls back into the 7 to 15 range. And I'm not
well, that's
I'm
what
just
I was
not
ask.
That
what's,
keen
what's
on
the
that.
Difference between, you know, 7 and 15?
7
not
and 15,
much.
5 points a game.
What? Because of one guy.
Okay, 7 to 12.
No, what do you mean because of one guy?
Okay.
It's 12 to 8 points.
Throw Hunter Henry's old broken ass in there. Fine.
Okay.
Noah Fant averaged 7 points a game.
I think it gets closer to 13.
He played.
He also only had 3 touchdowns.
I think it goes closer to 10.
Okay. Yeah, I'd go right in the middle there.
And if you want 10 points a game, Dallas
if
Goddard.
You give me 10 points a game and a guy like Terry McLaurin, absolutely.
Fucking Evan Ingram had 13.
Absolutely, because
points
I
a game.
I need my point is I need a third wide receiver.
Speaking of Evan Ingram,
or I need
Ingram,
a number two running back.
What about Caden Smith? Really cheap.
Yeah, I like that.
I do too.
Jacob Hollister of Seattle averaged 9 a game. Give me Hollister. Give me some Hollister.
I played Hollister so many times in DFS. Yeah, so many times it paid off a couple times.
Hell, Eric Ebron averaged 8. Just go ahead and give me that value. What about in Pittsburgh now?
Yeah. What will Disley?
If
he was healthy, kind of.
Darius Geis laughs at him for getting injured.
Shut up.
I'd forgot about Ebron going to Pittsburgh. I like that.
I do too.
Is McDonald gone?
I think so.
I feel like he is. I feel like he retired.
I'm not sure. Jonnu Smith's a good buy low. Almost seven points a game.
I've got another guy to target.
Let's hear it.
I think one share of Irv Smith, but God, I want 5.
I like Irv. Kyle Rudolph's about done. Yeah. I like Irv. That's an Ian Thomas. Like, he's a tier below Ian Thomas for me because Rudolph is still there and is good enough to hold him off for one more
that
year.
That frustrates the hell out of me because I feel like he's so much better already than Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, he could absolutely emerge and just step on Rudolph. Santa Claus does.
We talked
every
a lot
Christmas.
About the, last year's draft class, and it was Irv Smith, Fant, and Hockenson.
Yep.
And I still have faith in all three
I
of them.
I do like Fant more than Hockenson now. Yeah, I have rolled on to the Fant train. Like, Hockenson's a nice player, but I have moved on. It's Fant.
I think Hockenson's going to be fine. I just don't think he's ever going to approach, like, Fant at this point.
Just the combination of Detroit and an injury already. Just go ahead and give me Fant. There is a possibility that the open looks Fant will get will lead to major fantasy relevance.
If you're going to leave someone alone, do you want your already proven good wide receiver, your really dangerous wide receiver, you know, that's, you know, looks like a prototype that you really want coming out, the running back who's proved himself, or the tight end? There's a reason that Peyton Manning supported 2 tight ends his entire career.
Yeah.
And by no means I mean Locke's Peyton Manning. I get that. But
what 2 tight ends did Peyton?
Got her Dallas Clark and you know who I'm talking about. He was fantasy relevant.
Clark and who?
I can't even remember.
I mean, Andrew Luck was really good about Mo Alley Cox and
he had
Ebron and
I can't remember the guy's name, but it was 2 or 3 seasons. The dude is pretty decent.
I think he's right. I just don't know who it is.
Who the heck was there with Dallas? Ben Hartsock?
No, Peyton.
Yeah, I don't know.
God, I'll let you
figure this
Marcus
out.
Marcus Pollard?
No, come on.
No,
he's Polish.
Now you got me worried about this. Like, I know
you should be. I have no idea besides Dallas Clark, who Peyton Manning made relevant. I mean, you got Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark, and Edgerrin James. That's all I can think of.
I think it was Marcus Pollard.
If it was, your argument turned into Dwayne Haskins level shit.
Okay. In, he had 34 touchdowns in 6 years.
It's not bad.
Who?
Marcus Pollard.
That's solid, I guess. That's not bad. 6 years. How many?
34 touchdowns 34. In 6 years.
Almost six a year.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's okay.
For a,
I wouldn't that, really call
that's
it.
That's 5 years.
I wouldn't call it.
98 to 99, 99 to 2000, 2000.
Nothing right home about.
2003, 2004. Five, no, it is 6 years. No, 34 touchdowns. Nothing right home about. Get out of here.
Yeah, no.
Criminy.
It's okay. It's Ebronish.
That's a lot of freaking touchdowns.
Yeah, it is. It's right about, I mean, it's not like impressive. A lot of guys catch 6 to 7 a year.
Okay. Anyhow,
I mean,
a lot of guys.
Somebody
do it for
on
six
the Redskins is
going
to catch 6 to 7 a year with Dwayne Haskins.
All right, you done?
Yeah, done.
I hate you.
That's it.
Got anything else you want to add, Hux?
Nah, I think I'm good.
Punch Barker in the face.
On to a reaction. Thank you guys for
listening.
Bye,
Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
See ya.
All right, good night, guys.
Peace.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.